Saints, it is so good to be able to take time to look towards God's face. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We are just going to look at Him, look at His beauty, and to worship Him and give Him the glory that He is due. As we prepare our hearts for worship, I want to encourage us by reading Psalm chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Many are asking, "Who can show us anything good? Let the light of your face shine on us, Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and new wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, Lord, make me live in safety." Praise God that He puts more joy in our hearts than any external circumstances that are going on in our lives or going on in the world. It makes me think of Paul when he writes in Philippians chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and I'll say it again, rejoice. That doesn't mean that life around him was easy or anything like that, but yet we can find our favor in Christ Jesus. We can find our hope and our security and our joy in Him. That is the God we sing to. That is the God we praise. So let's sing.
Let's pray this together from Psalm 25. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Amen.
Thank you. Hear this good news from the Apostle Paul. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul unabashedly proclaimed the gospel to the world around him, regardless of the consequences that came his way. He endured imprisonment, stoning, and flogging for the name of Jesus. Yet he says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack." The Lord does not promise safety on earth or an easy life. He promises something much better. He promises an eternity in the presence of God. Let us strive to proclaim the gospel to our communities with a zealous heart out of a desire to make Christ known. Without any concern, we can be assured that he will bring us into his heavenly kingdom.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged already by our time together as we got to sing out that Jesus is our cornerstone, that he is the solid rock, and that he is the one that is carrying us through every day of our lives. This morning, if you're visiting with us and as our guest, or maybe for the first time, I want to welcome you. I'm so glad that you've chosen to tune in and to join us in this way. And I want to ask you if you would take a moment and go to devonshire.church/connect and fill out the connect card there. And also, if you're a regular attender, a member here at Devonshire, I also want to ask you to take a moment and text the word check in to the number that you're going to see on the screen in a little bit, just so that we know that you're here and that we're able to engage with you. There's a few announcements I wanted to share with you and encourage you to consider participating in. Last week I shared with you about the ministry opportunity of being a part of the care team, in which I was asking for individuals who would love to make some phone calls and to connect and care for other brothers and sisters in our church family. So give them a call, check in, see how they're doing, and have a word of prayer with them. About that simple. And so if you're interested in being a part of that, it was just really a blessing last week to hear back from those who participated in this effort, and want to do it one more time. Also, this Friday from 1 to 4 in the church parking lot, we're going to be holding a drive-through bake sale. Some of the ladies in our church are going to be making some baked goods, and they're going to be having them here available for pickup and purchase on Friday between 1 and 4 p.m. And the proceeds from this sale are going to be going towards the Free the Gospel initiative that Rose Grove Camp has, that helps make it possible for young people to go to summer camp that may not be able to otherwise. And so it helps cover some of those costs. So I encourage you to come out and to pick up some cookies or whatever other baked goods that they're going to have. And whether you have them for yourselves or your family, or you want to give them away to be a blessing to someone else, I encourage you to be a part of that. Also, in a moment, we're going to take a break, and I just want to thank you for your generosity and for your faithfulness in giving. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that. But before we go and do that, I wanted to give an opportunity for a ministry update in regards to our Little Lambs preschool. About 2 months ago, they stopped meeting here physically together because of all that has happened, but they didn't stop. And we have an amazing staff and leadership there for this ministry that is being a blessing to our youngest in our community and to their families. And so this past week they did something special, and I wanted to ask one of our teachers, Mrs. Freepot, if she'd give a little update. And so listen in, and let's just thank God for this ministry and for these teachers and for everybody who's involved and a part of the Little Lambs preschool family. And let's continue to pray for them and just be encouraged as you hear this message. After that, we're going to take a break for about a minute, and during that time, I encourage you to text in those keywords and let us know that you're here, and then we'll bring this morning's message to you.
Hi, Devonshire. Mrs. Freakout here. I'm the three-year-old teacher for Panda Class and Squirrel Class. I'm here today doing with the kindergarten teachers or pre-K kindergarten teachers here at Devonshire. They're doing a Zoom by. As of March, we physically closed down, but in our hearts, we are here for the children. So we've never stopped teaching or being here for them because we love them, we miss them, and this is a drive-by where they can get their stuff for six. Most of these kids in this class are going to be going to kindergarten, and I know all the teachers miss all the children, and we are thinking about them, and we're thinking about the ministry of Little Lambs Preschool, because we never stop teaching, we never stop being there for them in our hearts, in our mind, because we love them, we love being a part of this ministry, and God bless all the families. We miss you, we think about you always, you're in our prayers and our thoughts, so be safe, God bless, and we love you, and a big hug from Mrs. Freakout. Thank you.
Happy Memorial Day weekend. Oftentimes on this weekend, I find myself out with family and friends for a cookout, playing some yard games maybe even getting out for a ride on my bike with some friends or our family. And so whatever it is that you find yourself doing, I hope that you're just having a great weekend. This morning, we want to continue through this series entitled The Waiting Room. And our focus has been around this idea that in seasons of waiting in our lives, it is then that God is at work and He's giving us the opportunity to be shaped and to be made more into His likeness. The other week I was visiting with the Dauberts and I had the opportunity to see their daughter Ronnie's pottery making setup. It's truly a gift that she has, but as I heard about the clay that she used and the process that she had to go through to get to the finished product, I was reminded about the process that the Lord often takes us through in our lives as He shapes us. I was reminded of Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 5 and 6, where through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord says this to His people, the Israelites. He says, "Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand." And so that's so true for us, that we are like the clay in the potter's hand. And it's a process that isn't easy on the clay a lot of the time in getting to the desired outcome of what the potter is trying to make. The unformed clay, it gets thrown, it gets spun, it gets shaped, it gets molded into something that once wasn't, and then it gets placed in the kiln. It takes time, and there isn't anything easy about it, but at the end of it, there is something that is beautiful, there is something that has purpose, that is useful, that is made. And the handiwork of the potter is revealed. I think waiting is a bit like this. At times there's nothing fun about it, but in the midst of it, God is shaping us and He is making us into something better. We've talked about how in the waiting, even whenever God feels distant, we can find joy, that we can continue to sing as we remember the Lord's faithfulness and His goodness in our lives, and that we can trust Him. We've talked about how in the waiting that we have the opportunity to learn to listen and hear God's voice in ways like we may not have had otherwise. And so this morning I want to talk about another way that I want to encourage us to continue to live in these days. Because for the Christian, whether it is in days when all is as it should be or when it isn't, we are waiting and we are looking forward to the day of our Savior's return, when He stands in final victory. We look forward to a time when all that is wrong will be made right, when all the suffering, the hurting, and the pain that we face in this life when all the tears will be gone. But there will be a day when all of that happens, and as Christians, we are longing for that day when we will get to be with our Savior. We know that life is hard, and maybe you're facing a challenge of a sickness or an illness, and maybe you're in a season where you're finding that your health isn't what it used to be. You're aging. Maybe you're needing some encouragement to stay faithful to God's calling in your life because you're just not sure if this is the right direction or if you can do what He's asked you to do. Maybe you're in need of encouragement because of the pressure to conform in your workplace. Or maybe you're in a season right now of loneliness because you've decided to live life God's way. And maybe it's because of what you're going through as a parent, and as you aim to love and care and support your child who is hurting or is maybe heading down a path that you wish they were choosing differently in. And maybe you're grieving the loss of a loved one. Whatever it is, there are challenges. There are challenges all around us that we all face every day, and we need encouragement to keep on living for the glory of God. And so to find encouragement for the journey until that day comes, when Jesus returns, I want to ask you to turn with me to Paul's second letter to Timothy, because that's where we're going to be this morning. And here's the context as you turn there. Here's the context of these two verses that we're going to look at this morning. Timothy was a young pastor and a partner in Paul's ministry. And Paul's writing him this letter while he's awaiting execution. He is in a hard situation. He is in a difficult place. He expects for this execution to take place soon. And so what is he doing? But he's taking advantage of this opportunity that he has, this little bit of time that he has to encourage his dear brother in the Lord. And here's Timothy's situation. Here's why Paul is writing to encourage him. Timothy was pastoring the church in Ephesus. And it seems as though there's some kind of strife that's taking place. There's some kind of persecution that is being threatened. And Timothy is timid and he is fearful and he is in need of Paul's encouragement. Timothy had even been looked upon as being too young for the job, which we hear about here later at the end of 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it's here that we find Timothy. He's in an environment in which you can easily find yourself leaning on your own abilities and being tempted just that you need to prove yourself, maybe, but yet you're timid and yet you're fearful. And every single one of us can find ourselves in those places, can't we? Absolutely. The truth is that every one of us faces fear. Every one of us faces discouragement in some manner. And there are those moments when we are weaker than others. There are those times whenever we want to throw in the towel. Those times whenever we'd love to take the easier road. Those times whenever we just need some encouragement. We need someone to come alongside us and to speak into our lives and encourage us. While we're waiting, while we're looking forward to when the Lord is going to make all things as new. Waiting can be hard stuff, especially when it's not easy. So you want to talk about things being challenging and difficult? Paul had faithfully given himself to faithfully proclaiming the gospel with boldness. And what has it done for him? But it landed him in prison numerous times, and now finally he is finding himself awaiting death. And he's writing to Timothy with some huge encouragement and concern because he knows how things go and the importance of what he has to say to Timothy. Earlier in 2 Timothy 1:8, he says this, "Don't be ashamed of the gospel, but keep on giving your life for it." Why? Because God has saved you by his grace and he has a holy calling and a purpose on your life. And so in the same way, I want to say, guys, let's keep on going. Let's keep giving our lives for the sake of the gospel in these days, because God has saved you by his grace and he's got a holy calling and a purpose on your life. The heart of Paul as he writes this letter to Timothy is that he would passionately pursue Christ in all things and not give up. Paul knows that he's about to die. He knows the power of the gospel in his life. He knows the importance of the truth of the gospel being known to future generations, and he knows that that relies on men and women who are faithful to show and tell the good news to their families, to their churches, to their friends, in their communities. And for that to happen, he wants to encourage Timothy to stay strong for the Lord. And so what does it look like to have a passionate relationship with Christ in the midst of life whenever it is hard? That's what I want to encourage us in, as we give attention to what Paul is saying to Timothy. Paul understands that life is hard and full of challenges. He fully understands that living the Christian life with faithfulness, it's not easy. And sometimes whenever we feel like we're getting, when we feel like we're getting pounded and molded like clay in the potter's hands, maybe we want to give up. But the Christian life, it's not for the faint of heart. It's not an easy thing. And Paul knows that, and there isn't anything that he writes that indicates that it is or it should be. And if anything, he knows that the life we are called to is a life that we can't live on our own. He's just shared with Timothy some specific examples of individuals who are a part of a greater number of individuals who are abandoning their faith for fear of persecution. And he gives an example of one who has brought him refreshment. You know that from your own experience in life. There are those that you can think of who were once walking alongside you and following after Jesus, who are no longer around or who would no longer make such a profession. And there is stuff that can happen in our lives that can head our lives in a whole different direction than where we would be if we are grounded in following after Jesus in our relationship with Him. And so with that in mind, what is Paul's encouragement to Timothy in these days when life is hard? Let's continue reading. Here's what he says in the first two verses. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes this to Timothy. He says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Just read that again. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Do you hear Paul's encouragement to him? He says, "You then, my child," in light of all that I've said up to this point. And there are a number of ways that Paul encourages Timothy here as he leads into this passage of scripture, but right now I just want to look at the first thing that Paul says, and hopefully that just brings encouragement to you this morning. Paul has already stated in just a few verses prior, in 2 Timothy 1:14, "Guard the good deposit entrusted to you." And so how can Timothy do this? Here's what he says. The NIV says, "Be strong." I remember whenever my boys were a bit younger, the one time that we went to the store, and my youngest, his name is Nathan, we got back and he wanted to help bring in the milk, and he wanted to help bring in stuff, and I was like, "Oh, that sounds good," and I thought I'd give him something that I felt like he could handle. It wouldn't be too hard for him. It was when he was way younger. He might have been 2 or 3 or something like that, but he wanted to carry in a milk jug, sort of like this. I mean, for a little guy, this had some weight to it. And I said, "No, how about something else?" But no, that's not how it goes. He wanted to do what he wanted to do, and so he wanted to carry in the milk. He was certain that he could handle it, but before long he realized that this is really heavy for him, and it was too much for him. And in that moment, if I would have just said to him, "Hey, come on, buddy, just be strong. Come on, be strong," and just encouraged him to do it and keep telling him that he is strong, would that have been very helpful? I don't think so. I don't think that would have helped him carry this in at all. If anything, we might have had a big mess and a lost jug of milk, right? And Paul knows that. He knows that also. And he doesn't just say be strong, but he says be strong in what? In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The ESV says it in this way: be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The tense of the words that we are being used here means continually be strengthened in the grace that is found in Jesus. It's not just a once and done thing, but it is a continual thing. And this is where it all starts for us in living the Christian life. In the midst of challenging and difficult circumstances, it is only possible to go through these days as we lean on Jesus. As we lean on His grace. The Christian life is impossible to live without Christ. We must daily find our strength in the power that He gives us. Look at what Paul says at the end of the letter in 2 Timothy 4:16. If you just turn a page or two back, he writes this: at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. He's probably talking about what is mentioned at the end of chapter 1. May it not be charged against them, he says, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Everyone left him, but who stood by him? It was the Lord who strengthened him. Why? So that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Paul's encouraging Timothy to guard, stand strong, and contend for the faith. And just like God has strengthened him for those purposes, Paul says that Paul tells him where he is to find strength. It's no surprise, I'm sure, to Timothy, because isn't that what he's already said to him in chapter 1, verse 7 of this letter? For God gave us the spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Over and over, that's Paul's encouragement throughout the New Testament. Let me just read a few of those passages for you. To the church in Ephesus, Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, and put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. Or in Colossians 1:11, he writes to the church there, and he says, may you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Later, in Colossians 1:29, for this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. Or at the end of his letter to the church in Philippi, he says this in Philippians 4:12-13, in any and every circumstance I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. He's saying, it doesn't matter what the situation is, here's the deal. My strength to do this is, and I can do all these things through Him who strengthens me. You hear this, guys? All that we need is to be found in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul doesn't say dig down deeper in your own strength. He doesn't build Timothy up on his abilities and how wonderful he is, but he rather points him to find his strength in God. What God calls His own to is not for the weak or faint of heart. It is for those who are strong in the Lord. Guys, we gotta be strong. And so my question to you, friend, is, are you strong in the Lord? On the outside, I know it can look like you have it all together, but I know that what's going on inside has the potential to be a whole different matter. So I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep on relying on the grace of God. Keep your eyes on Christ and be amazed all the more at the power of God's grace. Because guys, His grace is sufficient. It is all that we need. Nothing else will satisfy our hearts like He can. It is all because of God's grace that He takes sinners deserving of the wrath, of His wrath. That He extends His grace towards us so that we might be reconciled to Him. His grace is already unbelievable. It's truly amazing to think of the sinfulness and the rebelliousness of our hearts and how still, even in spite of all of that, to those who turn in repentance and faith to Him in Christ, He brings them in and He gives them a place to belong, and He brings them into His family and He makes them His sons and daughters. So look at the cross. The cross reveals a generous and a loving God. It shows us how great our Savior's love is for us. And even while we're yet sinners, He died for us. Because the cost was not too great for Him, because His love for us was even greater. Paul says that there is more. If that wasn't enough, James, he says this in James 4:6. It is such good news, but he gives more grace. One commentator gives us this picture. He says, more grace was always there for Timothy, like a poised pitcher, ready at the slightest nudge to pour grace upon him. Friends, be encouraged. God has saved you by His grace. He has a high calling. He has a purpose for your life. And by His grace, He will give you all that you need to accomplish it. It's the same grace that has saved you, that is the same grace that will keep you and sustain you. And so be strong in His grace. Continue to be strengthened in it. And let that settle into your hearts, because we cannot do this on our own. We need His help. We need His sustaining grace. We need His listening ear. We need His presence. We need Him. We need to be strong in the Lord. He knows exactly what it is that you are journeying through right now. And He's got more grace ready to give you, to carry you through. Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you in need of some hope? Find strength in His gracious and His loving hands. His strength is perfect. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Guys, are you battling temptation? Are there hopes and dreams and lives that still haven't turned out like you'd hoped? Friend, know that you're not alone. Paul writes this, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I want you to know that He knows what you're going through and what you need. And just as Paul wanted Timothy to know that there wasn't anything that would come his way that God wouldn't give him the grace to handle, the same is true for us as we strive to press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so, do you remember? Do you remember the story of Nathan trying to carry that jug all by himself? And how he couldn't do it. This was just too much for him. His little body, he couldn't carry it in. He struggled to pick it up, and maybe he got it up, but he was coming along and he wasn't going to be able to get it very far, and he was going to drop it. All he needed was the help of me to come alongside him and help him with it, and he was able to do it. I hope that's a helpful picture of God's generous grace and strength that He longs to give us. All that Nathan needed was for me to come put my hand around his hand and pick up the jug and walk it in. He couldn't do it on his own. And that's God with us. There are those things that we journey through and that we are carrying in our lives. And we might get to that point where we feel like we can't do it. But do you hear this morning? Be strong and be strengthened by His grace. He is a generous, gracious God, and He longs to give us all that we need. We are so tempted, aren't we, to rely on our own strength alone, but we can't do it. We need His help. And so let's keep on being strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He always provides every single thing that we need. The lyrics of the old hymn, so encouraging, a great reminder to us. The lyrics are this: He giveth more grace as our burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as our laborers increase. To added afflictions, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, He multiplies peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we've reached the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. So fear not that thy need shall exceed his provision. Our God ever yearns his resources to share. So lean hard on the arm everlasting availing. The Father both thee and thy load will upbear. And so listen to this. This is so encouraging. I love this verse. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and he giveth and he giveth again. Remember how the Holy Spirit came on the believers, enabling them for the work that they had been given to do, to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so may we experience that same power in our lives today. I pray that you've been encouraged by this. And may we be a people who are just clinging on to God's faithfulness and to his grace and relying on him alone. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you that we can count on you in every season of life, whether we are in a season of waiting. And no matter how hard the challenges are, no matter how hard the hurt and the pain is, no matter, even if we find ourselves in a place where we're not sure we can keep on going, that we can know that you are a generous and a gracious God, ready to meet our every need if we just lean on you, cry out to you, and rest and rely on you fully. And so, Lord, would you continue to be everything to us? Lord, you know the situations that each person is going through who is listening to this. And so, God, would you, by the power of your Spirit, speak to them and encourage and strengthen them.